Hallelujah. Dear God, we worship you. We thank you for your cleansing blood. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you because you're long-suffering and you're patient. God, in fact, we all stand here not deserving of your mercy. We've done nothing to deserve your love. But you love us, Lord, not because we've performed and not because we've done the right things, Lord God, but you made us to love us, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you love me unconditionally. Lord, I'm just blown away by the fact that you desire a relationship with me. The God of the universe is perfect and without sin. Your word says that you sit in inapproachable light, and in you there is no darkness at all. Wants a relationship with somebody with a dark heart like mine. And you wanted it so bad, and you made it possible by sending your son Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sin so that I might be able to have access to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you came just for me. That you came just for me. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we give you glory right now. That's why we're here today. Forgive us for when we've gotten caught up in our own agenda. Forgive us, God, for when we've rushed out to get to church and we've tried to find our right clothes to put on and the right shoes to put on, and we fussed at our kids and our wives, and we've got to church sweating and upset and lost focus of who we've come to see. We ask that you open the eyes of our hearts today so we can see you. Show us your face. God, we come again. I say it every week, Lord God, not for more information. God, not just for another good sermon, Lord, not for us to just have notes filled up on a page, God, but we don't want more information. We want transformation. Change us, God. My prayer today, God, is that somebody leave here different from how they came. And we thank you, Lord. We know that you have the power to do it, and we come expecting for you to do great and mighty things that our mind could never conceive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He's worthy of our praise today. Amen. Amen. Let me just take the time. I just want to welcome you here. If you are a guest here at Encounter Life Church, we want to welcome you. Can we give all of our guests a round of applause? We're so glad you came to worship with us today. My prayer is that you feel at home today. Amen? That you feel at home, and we want to let you know that we love you with the love of the Lord, and we pray that you feel that love. And our prayer today is for you, just like it's for everybody else, that it, when you come here, you encounter the presence of God and discover the purpose that he made you for and experience his power in your life. That's our prayer. That's our passion. That's our vision for everyone who comes in this church. If you are a guest, you should have one of these Connect cards somewhere close to you. I don't know if they're in the seat pocket underneath you. If not, I'm going to ask Brother Derek and some of the ushers back there to make sure, if you're a guest, that you get one of these cards, because we want to make sure that you put your information on this connection card so we can connect with you. Also, throughout the service, I'm going to call your attention to this card later, because on the back it says, "What's next?" And it's going to give you an opportunity as we come. We said we don't want you to just get more information. We want transformation. Our prayer that God works change. And we pray that God speaks to your heart some way. And throughout the day, whether you're a guest or not, you may have been here before. You may be a member here. We want to know how God has spoken to you. So you might have some decisions you may need to make. There's a place for you to put that here on the rear of this car right there, as well as if you have any prayer request at all. Amen. Amen. I just want to praise God for that word. Thank Brother Dave. Can we say amen for Brother Dave and the communion message that he gave this morning? And as he was speaking, he was right. He was talking about the imperums. And it's just so amazing how when God comes, and he didn't say it, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this morning, the imperums lost everything. And it's just so good that we were singing this song of the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And it said, the rain came tumbling down. And the same rain came falling on both houses, but one of them, the house stood firm. And when we're not talking about a physical house. When you have your life built on the right foundation, even though your physical house may burn, guess what? You can still stand. And I thank God for the perspective of the imperums. But, you know, this weekend, I was talking to Dave this morning, and Dave said, man, you know, a bullet came through my house the other day. Was it last night? This morning. And I said, what? He said, man, a bullet came through the back of our house, went through the roof, came through the kitchen, through the bathroom, hit the family living room where they all sit and where we all sit and his kids all sit and watch TV, and he found it sitting there right on the floor. And he heard it. He heard a loud boom, loud noise. He got out. What's going on? And just imagine, listen, this is when we talk about perspective. Your life can change in a moment. What if he's standing? What if his kids were? He said, man, I'm so glad we put the kids down and didn't let them stay up. What if the kids are there playing PlayStation or watching TV right in that living room where the bullet comes through, where all of us sit in that room? We could have been mourning this morning. But that's why you have to take, listen, tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. That's why you got to live your life today in preparation for the next one, because you don't know what tomorrow has. And that's why it's so important that as you live, if you're a follower of Christ, that you live every moment with an attitude of gratitude. This morning, Dave is thankful that he's alive, that his children are alive, that his wife is alive. And when you have moments like that, it makes you just more grateful for every breath, doesn't it? Aren't you great? Anybody had something happen in your life that just made you grateful for every moment, that you have a better appreciation for every day that you wake up? Amen. And what God, and the thing about it is, God wants us to get to the point where we live every single day with that kind of attitude. That I have an attitude that, God, I'm thankful for this moment that I get to breathe. That breath that I just breathed, God, I thank you for that. Because I don't want to take anything for granted. This morning, we're getting ready to start a series called Thanks and Giving. Thanks and Giving. So those of you who have been here at our church know that we are actually preparing to embark on a capital campaign where we want to begin to raise funds and see God do some work in this place. But one of the things I know that people who are not thankful, grateful people don't give. Amen? Some of the most giving people are what? Thankful people. And we're getting ready. A couple of weeks, we're going to go into Thanksgiving, the season of Thanksgiving, where we all celebrate, and a lot of us get around with our family and friends. How many of you are looking forward to family and friends coming around Thanksgiving and eating? I'm sitting here thinking this morning, how am I going to get through this? I want to lose all this weight. And why does always Thanksgiving come around right when you're ready to lose some weight, right? And I'm just telling myself, Lord, am I going to be able to go keto on Thanksgiving? I don't know. I'm going to get through it. But we're all excited about Thanksgiving. And here in our church, we usually have a Thanksgiving service. But we say thanks and giving. People who are thankful people are giving people. So this year for our Thanksgiving service, we're going to go out and give because we're thankful for what God has done for us. So instead of us sitting here in the four walls and talking about what God has done for us, which is good, it's time to do that. We need to do that. We're going to show God, we're so thankful because we're thankful that today we're going to go home and sit with family. What we're going to do, we're going to join with another church in the city, and we're going to give. We're going to go and feed people who are homeless and those who don't have. Amen? You're going to be hearing more about that, but God, a thankful heart is a giving heart. And so we're starting a series over the next 3 weeks called Thanks and Giving, because I just know one thing. Having children, sometimes we can be very ungrateful. Anybody got some ungrateful children? Amen. I think all children are ungrateful at some point, right? You give them, and then they want more, and then they pout when they don't get more. And God wants us to be grateful and develop an attitude of gratitude. So this morning, that's where we're going to be coming from an attitude of gratitude. We're going to be, if you have your Bible, if you can't see the screen, you can turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, we're going to look at. And we're looking at the New International Version. And we're going to be talking about how to have an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to give you four things on how I have an attitude of gratitude. Luke chapter 17. This is a story. It talks about 10 men who had a disease called leprosy, the 10 lepers. And I'm going to read it really quick, and we're just going to kind of break it down a little bit. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." How to have an attitude of gratitude. We got one main idea, one main point that we want to drive home with you guys today. And if you don't leave with anything else, I want you to remember this. It's this. Thankfulness leads us into the presence of God, but ungratefulness always leads us away from God. Thankfulness leads us into the presence of God, but ungratefulness always leads us away from God. I was reading a story about a man in South Africa. A story when you talk about being ungrateful. This man had an unfortunate incident happen where 9 men broke into his home and robbed him. And he surprised all of these guys. He came home while these 9 men were there and trying to rob him. And what happened is 8 of the guys got away, but one of them didn't get out. And what the man, he wrestled with this man and he threw him into a pool, in his swimming pool. Well, when he threw the man into his swimming pool, he quickly recognized that the burglar couldn't swim. So the man is sitting there drowning in the pool, and this man is not, he's not like me. He looked at this man drowning in the pool. If it were me in my pool, I'm going to just watch you go under the water. Well, this man just said he knew the man couldn't swim. So he jumped in and he got the man out of the water. And then when he got the man out of the water, he sat down next to him. The dude pulled out a knife and called his friends to come help him, He said, "Man, I just saved your life, and now you're going to pull a knife on me?" You know what the man did? Threw him back in the pool. And you know, when I laugh at that, but it's so funny, kind of think about somebody who was robbing me, I saved them, and now they want to turn on me. And I just think about me and how I act with God sometimes. And what a bad fix that we're in, and how God, what he's done to save us, and how ungrateful, and how we can actually turn our backs on him and do our own thing, live according to our own agenda after he's done all that to save us. And when I think about that, I think about these guys in this story. And when you look in Luke chapter 17, you see there are 10 men who have a disease called leprosy. If you're not familiar with leprosy in the scripture, leprosy was a flesh-eating disease. But oftentimes, leprosy is referring to a class of skin diseases. It could be anything from psoriasis to actually leprosy itself. And the actual disease of leprosy can be so bad that it will cause people's limbs to fall off. And in the Bible, if you look in the book of Leviticus, I believe Leviticus chapter 13, it gives you instruction for people who have skin diseases, what you should do with them. And what a Jewish person, if they had a skin disease, they were supposed to kick these people out of the community because they were unclean. And they actually had to quarantine them. So you'll see in this passage, it says 10 guys, these 10 dudes are sitting outside of the city, and they're all sitting together outside of the city with this skin disease because they've been quarantined. They could not be next to everybody else. And they have a flesh-eating disease that's really like a death sentence. They can't even be around people. And when you think about these 10 guys and the condition that they were in, it kind of reminds me of myself. See, leprosy is like a good indication, is a good parallel between leprosy and my sinful condition. See, sin has separated me from God. And the fact of the matter is, 10 guys, they were all, and you'll see in the story, one of the guys was a Samaritan. Samaritans were people that were looked down on. They were like the scum of the earth. The Jewish people did not associate with the Samaritans because they were a lower class people. They thought they were a mixed breed, lower class people. So they didn't even associate with the Samaritans. But if you notice in the passage that the Samaritans and the Jews were all clumped in together. See, what that leprosy look removed all of the class system. We all got the same disease. And how many know, no matter whether you're black, white, whatever, listen, whether you're middle class, upper class, lower class, all of us are born with a sin disease. All of us are born in a position where we're separated from God. These 10 guys were sitting outside of the city, all of them smitten with this disease called leprosy that's eating their flesh. And you and I are born with a disease called sin. The Bible says you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and sin has separated you from God. And it doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what your economic status is. We're all in the same fix this morning. And these guys, listen, in order for you to have an attitude of gratitude, these guys, and when look at what the passage says they did. When Jesus came, what did they do? They yelled out, they cried out to Jesus in a loud voice and said, "Master, have pity on us, have mercy on us," because they needed somebody to save them. And in order for you to have an attitude of gratitude, it starts with you understanding that you are helpless. You got to understand that you're helpless. See, in order for you to be a thankful person, you got to understand first that you got a need. If you think you got it all together, people who think they got it all together are not necessarily really thankful, grateful people. They're not really thankful, grateful people. But when you recognize that I don't have it all together and I need somebody to help me and I cannot do it on my own, then that makes you have that leads to an attitude of gratitude. And today, if you want to develop an attitude of gratitude, you got to first come to grips with the understanding that you're born in a helpless condition. You and I are helpless people. Sin has separated us from God, and there's nothing that you can do to fix it. The Bible in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us as sinners. An attitude of gratitude. What makes me grateful for every moment that I wake up is to understand that I was helpless and I didn't even know. Listen, the Bible says there's none that even seeks after God. There's none that are righteous, no, not one. And understanding that in that state, he came and saved me. If you want an attitude of gratitude, you got to understand you're helpless. My question today, do you recognize this morning that you're helpless? Do you know everybody doesn't recognize they're helpless? Many people think I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Hopefully I'll do enough good stuff that the end of my life that God will accept me into his kingdom. I'm here to tell you, you're helpless. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many skills you have. You are helpless when it comes to you standing before God. And one of the most grateful things you can listen, do you understand how helpless Eric and Marjorie felt when they watched their house burn? There's nothing that they can do to fix it. And right now, there's nothing that you can do to fix your condition. There's nothing. There's only one. The Bible says there's only one name under heaven given among men through which you can be saved from your sin. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. In order for you to have an attitude of gratitude, first you got to admit and you got to understand that you're helpless. That you're born in bad shape. That God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He desired, listen, I said it earlier, he made you to love you, but sin has separated you and I from God. Sin, for those of us who are not familiar with the term sin just simply means to fall short of God's standard. It's a term, I said it before, it's a term used in archery, which means to miss the mark. If I got a bow and arrow and I shoot it at the bullseye, sin means I just missed the bullseye. God has a bullseye. God's bullseye, his mark is perfection. In order for you to be right with God, you have to be perfect. We were having this discussion in the car this week about ways to get to heaven. And we were talking, I said, the only way to get to heaven, listen, if somebody is perfect and live a perfect life, if you live a perfect life, the only way outside of Jesus to get to heaven is if you live a completely perfect life. Well, my son says, well, then that means there is another way to get to heaven. I said, son, the problem is there's nobody who can live a perfect life. Anybody tried it? It's just impossible. Why? Because the Bible says our sin nature. I am born with a want to do wrong. I am naturally bent towards doing what God doesn't want me to do. Haven't you found that true in your life? Most stuff that God asked me to do is the stuff that I'm not drawn to. You found that? Listen, if you're a single person in here, a young person, an older person, and you're a single person, God says, I want you to flee youthful lust. I want you to flee fornication. My natural thing is, listen, I want to sleep around. I want to get it in. Amen.
The natural thing, listen, if you're single, if you're a married person here, the Bible says for me to be faithful to my wife, that the marriage is honorable above all and the marriage bed is undefiled. Naturally, when I go to work and that sister is flirting with you, what your flesh wants to do is, well, listen, nobody will know. Come on. What naturally, the Bible tells me my body is his temple. I got to take care of my temple. The hardest thing for me to do is take care of this temple. Can't you look at my stomach and tell that? The Bible tells me to listen, that I should give. God loves a cheerful giver. The thing he's asking me to do is to give my resources to him. But what is natural for me, what's the hardest thing for me to do is to give freely to God. So when you're born helpless, y'all, you can't do right, even if you try. Many of us have tried, said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. It doesn't work. You and I are helpless when it comes to our relationship with God. There's nothing that you can do that God will say, okay, you're cool, we're cool. He has a standard, and his standard is perfection, and you and I will always miss the standard. So what is there to do? The Bible says, Paul said, who can deliver me from this body of sin, this body of death? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. See, because God made him who had not sinned, and not only had he not sinned, he knew no sin. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God. What God did, he sent a gift of himself, Jesus Christ, lived on this earth and was perfect. Why was he perfect? Why was he able to do it and I couldn't do it? Because he's the God-man. God became flesh and dwelt and lived among us, and he didn't sin. The reason why he did that is because the Bible says there's got to be a sacrifice made for sin. See, I made you to love you. I made you and God designed you and shaped you for you to be in relationship with me. I want you bad, but you're messed up. And you can't come to me like you are. It's because I wouldn't be God if I let you in my presence, because I'm holy and I'm righteous and I'm without sin, and I couldn't be God and allow sin in. So in order for me to let you in, I got to make you righteous. You can't do it on your own. So Jesus came. He didn't sin. He walked on this earth. He lived. He was tempted, just like you and I are. But guess what? The Bible says he was tempted in every area. The Bible says in all points. All points means what? All points. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, but he didn't sin. It says God has given us somebody, a high priest, that can identify with all of your suffering. Everything that you've been through in life, Jesus Christ has been through, so he can identify with you. So he knows what it's like to be tempted with lust. I'm sure he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be tempted with pride. He knows what it's like. And he did not give in to the temptation, because he said, listen, I'm on a mission to get them back. You're helpless without him. And he became obedient. He died on the cross. He shed his blood to pay the sacrifice for your sins. You're helpless without him. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if I get my mind on that fact, that'll make me the most grateful person in the world. If I didn't have a house to live in, if I didn't have a car to drive, to have the perspective to know that the God of the universe loves me and cares for me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for me so that one day I can live with him forever. Right now, listen, my money might not look like I wanted to, but guess what? I know there's a mansion made for me that's not made with hands. I might not be living in the house I want to right now, but there is a place where the streets are lined with gold. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Might not be like you want it right now, but guess what? Ooh, when you get on the other side, it's all worth it. The scripture said that the glory that will be revealed cannot be compared. You cannot be compared. This light affliction that you go through in this life can't be compared with the glory. That's for all who put their faith and trust. All of us who recognize that we're helpless and have put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. Man, what an awesome gift.
You want an attitude of gratitude, boy, it does start with you recognizing you're helpless. That's number one. An attitude of gratitude starts with recognizing and admitting that I'm helpless. But an attitude of gratitude, what it does, it brings honor to God. It brings honor to God. Look at verse 15 of our text, Luke chapter 17. These 10 guys who are all walking around, it's a beautiful thing. They're walking, they're all lepers, sick, don't know how they're going to get well. And they cry out, listen, I love it because when they saw Jesus, they know that this is the one who can fix. If anybody can fix my condition, he can fix it. And I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place at the right time. Because whatever your condition is, it doesn't matter. If it's physical, financial, spiritual, relationship, whatever the condition is, he's the one who can fix it. He's the one who can fix whatever your condition is. I don't care what your problem is. And these men who were sitting helpless, hopeless, isolated, they saw Jesus and they said, have mercy on us. Save us from our condition. And I love it. Jesus, man, Jesus was bad. I mean, he was like that. Jesus said, look, y'all just go show yourself to the priest. He didn't make no, rub his hands together and do nothing. You know, in some places he spit on his hand and spit on the, and put the mud on the people's eye and he did all these other kinds of stuff. He said, just go show the priest. And they must have recognized, they heard who the man was. They recognized who he was because listen, this was happening. This episode happened right after John 11. When in John 11, what happened in John 11 is what did he do? He raised Lazarus from the dead. So the word was getting around. This is a bad man. So what happened? He said, just go show yourself to the priest. And on their way, they recognized what's on their way. They were healed. The thing about it is when you make a step of obedience toward God. See, it started. They didn't have to. They didn't say, well, Jesus, you didn't do anything. He said, go show the priest. And they went and on their way, they were healing. God is waiting for you to make a step of obedience. Before he makes any change in your life, he's waiting for you to step out in faith. It took faith for all 10 of them to go out. They've been saying, man, we've been standing out here. You talking about go to the priest? Go to the priest for what? Don't you see my fingers falling off? Don't you see, man, can't you see my skin turn white? I got these white blotches on my skin. Go to the priest? I can't go to the priest. I'm unclean. But if the Jesus tells me to go, what? I'll go. If he's the one who tell me to go, I'll do it. We talked about the disciples and when they were fishing and Jesus told them to drop the nets. And he said, listen, stop reasoning. Drop the nets. And Peter and the disciples, they just dropped the nets. Didn't make sense. But because you said it, I'll do it. Jesus said, I want you to take a step. Go toward the priest. And they started walking. And as they started walking, they noticed what? They were healed. They received healing. And when they recognized they were healed on their way to the priest, I could imagine how excited that they were. Some of them were probably just so emotionally excited. They run to the priest. So listen, because just think about these guys. I said helpless. These men, man, that means they were separated from their children. They couldn't be around their families. They couldn't go to worship. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't go to work because of their condition. They were stuck outside of the city. And now that they see they're healed, man, can you see my, man, my wife, my kids, that I can see my children. So that I'm not hating on them. That 9 of them said, man, we healed. Come on, let's go toe to peace so we can get back to our lives. But there was one of them. There was one of them who said, listen, I'm healed. Before I get back to my life, I got to go to the one who made it possible. And what he did, he said, listen, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he didn't run to the priest. He said he came back praising God with a loud voice. He said, listen, he had a case of the can't help it. I can't be composed because y'all don't know how long I've been sitting out here. And I met a man who told me to go this way and I'm healed. I got to go back. And he said he praised him with a loud voice. Listen, somebody said, listen, you don't know what he's done for me.
You don't know what he's done for me. You don't know. Listen, if you don't know somebody's story, don't hate on them when they're giving him glory. Because sometimes some of us, God has delivered everybody from some different stuff. See, because this man, not only was he a leper, he was a Samaritan. He was doubly isolated. He was already looked at as the scum of the earth, and now I got this disease, so I'm in double trouble. And he healed me. This Jewish man, this man, he thought enough. He didn't just heal the 9 Jews. He healed me too. And what did he do? He went back and he praised God in a loud voice. If you want an attitude of gratitude, what does it do? It brings honor to God. Person with an attitude of gratitude is not afraid to bring, it brings honor to God. It's always ready to give him praise. And I love it. I love the way the scripture emphasizes that he praised God with a what? Loud voice. You know, this morning I met a sister, one of our guests here this morning, and she told me, listen, I hope I'll be okay. If it gets good to me, I might run down the aisle. I said, listen, you might see me running right behind you. Sister Kim says it all the time. Sister Kim, there's some of us that God has brought us to. If you just knew what he brought me out of. And I sit here trying to hold it. And I said, why are you trying to hold it? He brings God honor when you have an attitude of gratitude. He praised him with a loud voice. I just wonder, is there anybody ready to give him honor? Who can reflect on what he's delivered you from, what he's brought you out of, and willing to shout unto him and give him glory and honor and praise? That's how you know people who have attitude of gratitude. People with an attitude of gratitude, they give honor to God. Psalm 100, one of my favorite Psalms, 100, verse 4 and 5, says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. We got to give him honor. People with an attitude of gratitude, always giving God praise. And you know what? When you have a person with an attitude of gratitude, you know, they're infectious. They're people that you want to be around. Anybody have people in your life who are ungrateful? If you remember somebody's ungrateful, you know you can't get away from them fast enough. Anybody ever talk to people like at work? You come to them and you sit down to them at work and say, how's everything going? Oh, man. I'm going to holler at you later on. Because they will bring you what? All the way down. But it's nothing more pleasurable than being around somebody who's always giving God praise, even when their situation ain't good. You know, I have a lady, one of my patients, and I always appreciate her. She's an older lady, and, you know, things may not be the best for her health and all these other kind of things economically. And she comes in, and when you see her, she got her walker, and things are slow. And she said, Doc, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. I'll be treating her and all this. And I said, okay, listen, Miss such and such, I'll see you in 3 months. She said, okay, Doc, but let me say a word of prayer for you. You know, I always got to give you a word of encouragement. You know, I love being around people like that. She's always giving honor and glory to God. No matter what's going on in her life, she's giving God glory. And then she's trying to pour into me. I'm trying to help her out, and she's trying to minister to my spirit. She said, Doc, you know, every time I come in here, I got to have a word for you. Thank you. An attitude of gratitude brings God honor. He came and he praised God. And do you know when you do that, when you come and lift him up, he gave honor to God for his healing. He says, if I'll be lifted up, I will do what? I'll draw men. You know, when you have a life that has an attitude of gratitude and you bring God honor, you know what? Other people are drawn to him. Other people are drawn to him. An attitude of gratitude starts with understanding that I'm helpless. An attitude of gratitude brings God honor. But thirdly, an attitude of gratitude requires humility. Look at verse 16. It says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Said he threw himself at what? His feet. That's a sign of humility or surrender. He bowed before Jesus. You know, a person who is a thankful person is a humble person. An attitude of gratitude requires you to be humble. That's what he says. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The question I got to ask myself, am I prideful? And you know, sometimes pride is a sneaky thing to have. Sometimes we don't necessarily recognize that we're prideful. I'll never forget, I always say this example. I have an uncle of mine who was making these calendars, I guess, for his business or his church. And he put on the calendar, he gave himself a label, The Humble Such and Such. That was his title, The Humble. Now, when you call yourself humble, then you're probably just not humble. What is it? I'm the humble such. Maybe you're a little proud, right? But humility, what you got to be willing to do, an attitude of gratitude is one that says, recognize it. I fall before him in worship and surrender. It's a sign of surrender. People who are thankful and grateful people are surrendered people. People who fall before God in humility daily, make that a habit to fall in his presence. He resists the proud, James 4:6, but he shows favor to the humble. This brother, man, just look at what that attitude of gratitude says. What is our main idea? Put our main point up on the screen for me real quick. Our main point. It says Thanksgiving. What does Thanksgiving do? Thankfulness leads us into the what? See, he resists the what? Proud. He gives grace to the humble. So an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness opens the door to the very presence of God. Look at what happened. This man, 10 people were healed. One of them was grateful, and he entered into the presence of God. And the other ones were what? Distant. Ungrateful. And man, sometimes I'm just like them. Sometimes God does things in my life. How many of you have ever been, God has done something, and I really have forgotten to thank God about it? I gotten so caught up into the blessing that I forgot to thank the blesser. Anybody been there? I mean, I got excited. You done got the job. You done everything. You got the house. Oh, man, and everything worked out. It's all like it's supposed to be, and now you're just enjoying it. And I lost sight of the fact that, guess what? If it were not for him, I wouldn't have it. I got to get to the point where I'm like this man, like this leper, that Samaritan, that at the moment that he blesses me, all glory goes right back to him. But you got to recognize, see, that all starts at the beginning. If I don't recognize that I'm helpless without him. See, oftentimes we say I'm helpless without him, but we really think that we can do a little bit of this on our own. You know, because it goes into the way we pray. A lot of times we pray, but we don't praise. What do I mean? We're good on the supplication. We go to God in desperation after we done tried everything else. We've tried it. We tried to fix it. We tried it. And now let me try you, God. And God's trying to show me from the jump, come to me first. Say, God, I need you. Listen, from the moment your feet hit the floor, God, I don't even know how to do my job like I'm supposed to do it. I don't know how to raise these children. I don't know how to love my wife. I don't know stuff that I've been trained to do, God. I don't even know how to do that right without you. Don't wait till you get in a fix. Sometimes you're in the fix because God said, if you would have come to me first, you could have avoided all of these problems. That's what God is calling us to do. He told Joshua. Joshua and them went out to fight Ai. They just saw God do an amazing thing. Jericho, the walls of Jericho fell down. Man, look at God. But they thought they had something to do with it. Oh, Ai, this city ain't all that big. They ain't as big as Jericho. Their walls ain't that big. So we're going to go in here, rough them off real quick, and we're going to be gone. And they got in and got beat down. And they all, Lord, why did you do this? You brought us out here. And he said, if you would have come to me first, I would have let you know that somebody did something. Listen, there's sin in the camp. If you would come and ask me, I would have told you what you needed to do. You got to humble yourself. We got to recognize. Listen, the attitude of gratitude requires me to have humility to fall on my face before God and say, God, I don't know how to do anything without you. He opposes the proud, but shows his favor to the humble. An attitude of gratitude begins with understanding I'm helpless. An attitude of gratitude brings God honor. It requires humility. And finally, an attitude of gratitude gives me hope for more blessing. Look at what happens here. He says, Luke 17, verse 19. Then Jesus said to him, he asked him, he said, where are the rest of them? Didn't I heal, where are the other nine? Didn't I heal 10? Weren't there 10 of y'all? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. The actual word that there's used there is the same thing, the word that he used when the woman who was caught in adultery, he came and said, listen, he says, your faith has saved you. If what your faith has saved you, listen, that's what he's telling them right now, that your faith has made you well. What, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Then I thought about Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the confidence in what we what? Hope for. He said, hold on, go back. He said, your faith has made you well. And what is faith? It's the confidence in what we hope for. And assurance about what we don't see. And what I'm saying is that when he said, your faith has made you well, what does it do now? If I can walk in that faith and obedience, it gives me hope that guess what? There's blessings to come. Y'all heard that song by Anthony Brown? Every time I turn around, blessings on blessings. See, when I have an attitude of gratitude, guess what? God said, that's a person I can continue to pour blessing on. Because they're grateful. When you're ungrateful, God is not going to continue to pour blessing into your life because he said, you didn't thank me for what I gave you. Why am I going to keep giving you stuff? And how do I know you're not thankful? Because you're being a poor steward of it. You're ungrateful, so now you're crying about God, open the windows of heaven. He said, no. First, you need to develop an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude gives me hope. Do you know what this man, he said, rise. He told him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Could you imagine how empowering that was for that man to hear that from Jesus? Man, whatever else this comes into my life, he said, your faith has made you well. If putting my faith in him has done this for me here, what else can it do in my life? When I step out in faith and obedience with an attitude of gratitude, what else will God do for me? You know, the same is true for you as an individual. Same is true for us as a church. We said we're trying to do a capital campaign. We want to see God move and do some things in this place. And he said, listen, until you step out in faith with an attitude of gratitude, when you do that, guess what? What won't I do for you? As long as you're in my will and doing what I've called you to do and you walk in faith according to my will and my word, all of creation has to fall in line. Isn't that an awesome thing? Pastor Larry talked about it last week. Pastor Larry Page, man, wasn't that an amazing thing about God taking us over the edge? And when he got up on that ladder, he scared me half to death. If you were here last week, I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't fall. But when you step out of what God has called you to do, man, he will take you over the edge. The people, the children, when they stepped in the Jordan, it wasn't until they stepped in the Jordan that the water started to move. When you step toward God, a step of faith towards God, look at what happened. A step of faith towards God, creation got out the way. A step of faith toward God, all creation got out the way. That's the Jordan, the Red Sea. Lord, what's going on? The Egyptians are behind us. But look, a step of faith toward God, all the waters got to move. Do you understand when you step in faith in the will of God, all obstacles have to move. You don't have to move them. That's what he said. Do you know? Listen, you are the apple of his eye. You are the apple of his eye. You and I are the apple of his eye. The waters were made to sustain our life. The sun shines to sustain your life and my life. He made all of creation because he wants a relationship with you. So when you get in line, all creation, guess what? Got to get out the way. All creation falls in line when the apple of his eye gets in line with his will. Because he made all creation for what? Yeah, his glory. But he made it for you to sustain life so that you might be able to have relationship with him. Isn't that awesome? An attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude, it starts with recognizing and understanding that God, I'm helpless and I desperately need you. These men cried out to Jesus in desperation. Today, there's somebody here who needs to cry out to him in desperation. You may have come into this building today thinking that you're a pretty good person. And you might be by the world's standards, but by God's standards, the only good is perfect. No, there's none good but God. By God's standards, in order to be accepted into his kingdom, the only goodness is he's accepted is his goodness, which is perfection. You come this today to understand, man, if that's the case, I'm helpless and I need a savior. That's the attitude of gratitude starts there. The next thing, an attitude of gratitude. When you have that attitude of gratitude, you're not afraid. And listen, you don't worry about what anybody says. You will bring God glory and honor. This man came and fell at Jesus' feet with a loud noise, shouting, giving glory and honor to God. An attitude of gratitude requires you to have a humble heart. You got to come before him with humility. And finally, that attitude of gratitude will give you hope for blessings to continue to come as I step out in faith. Amen? Before we go, attitude of gratitude is important. But what are some things that you can do? I put up one there, so what now? So what's next? What do I do now? How do I get this attitude of gratitude? These are things, this is what attitude of gratitude can do. Well, what are some things that I can do to cultivate an attitude of gratitude? Number one thing I'm going to give you, be intentional. Say intentional. Be intentional about developing an attitude of gratitude. What do I mean? Begin to set up times and ways where you can express your gratitude to God. Some things you can do. Number one, keep a gratitude journal. Keep a gratitude journal. Maybe every day, get you a little notebook, a composition notebook or whatever. Write out 5 things each day that you're thankful for at the end of the day. Write 5 things. It could be more. You might get to writing and fill up a page, but 5 things that I can thank God for. Write a journal. Another thing you can do is set aside some time every day with God, exclusively devoted to thanksgiving and praise. Say, God, I'm not going to ask you for nothing. I'm not coming to say I have a need. I'm going to set aside this time to just thank you for what you've already done. And praise you for who you are. You can write a journal. Take 5 things God, I'm thankful for. Next thing, just set aside a few moments. It might be 5-10 minutes. I don't know. Don't even put a time on it. Just set some time to say, God, this is just my thanksgiving and praise time. Another thing that you can do, when you pray over your meals, take time to give thanks to God for things other than the food. Things like your family, your friends, and other things that God has done when you sit down. You know, we can get on. How many of us get on autopilot when you say you're great? You know, you say you blessed. It's the same thing. I know I do. It's the same. My kids, it's the same thing. They probably can mock what I'm getting ready to say. But this, when I pray over the time, it's a great time. Lord, thank you for the food that I have that we're about to receive. Let it be nourished before our bodies for Christ our Redeemer's sake. Before I do that, while I'm doing that, just say, Lord, not just that, stop being a robot. Just, God, thank you for this, yes, but also thank you for this family that I got a chance to eat around. And thank you, Lord, for the job that you gave me that made possible for me to put food on the table today. The job that I complain about every day when I go in. Just thank you, Lord, for those things. That's something you can do. Another thing you can do is take time to write God a thank you note. Just write him a thank you note for his goodness and his loving kindness. Those are some things that you can do. Be intentional and begin to do that. See, when you begin to develop that habit, you know what? You begin to have a habit of gratitude. Be intentional. But the other thing that you want to be, not the other thing I want you to be intentional, but number 2, be spontaneous. Be spontaneous. Just like this man. This guy just got up. Boom. I'm healed. It's a reflex. He healed me. Glory goes to God. Be spontaneous. Like I said, it doesn't have to be in form or fashion. Just be spontaneous. In the moment, give him glory. Boom, man, I almost got hit. God, thank you. I was riding down 210 last week. Riding down 210. We're going right down by Kirby Hill Road. Me and the kids on our way to school. Something said, boom. I thought something hit the side of my car. I looked. Nothing was there. Opened the sunroof, and a big rock from the construction site had hit my sunroof. I said, thank you, Lord, that my sunroof wasn't open. Why are we driving? Boom. God, thank you that you kept us safe. Thank you that it didn't cause me to go off track and have an accident with my kids in the car. Thank you, Lord. Spontaneous. As soon as even the little, do you know the smallest things are deserving of thanks? Be spontaneous. Last quote. I want to read a quote by Chuck Swindoll on attitude. He says, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It'll make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We can't change our past. We can't change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We can't change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Listen, ask God to give you an attitude of gratitude. To understand that you're helpless. To help your life bring him glory. To bring honor to him. To develop in you a heart of humility. And to understand that when you have an attitude of gratitude, it will give you hope for more blessings to come. Our main idea, just want to leave you with this one last time. Thankfulness leads us into the presence of God. Thankfulness leads us into the presence of God. But an ungrateful heart will always lead us away from God. I think that's fitting with our church. We call ourselves Encounter Life Church. Our first thing, we want people to encounter God's presence. And according to this, in order for me to encounter God's presence, I got to have a grateful heart. Thankfulness will lead me into the presence of God. As we stand on our feet, can we all stand together? I'm done. I want you to ask yourself, Lord, today, just ask yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. Do I have an attitude of gratitude? Do I exhibit an attitude of gratitude in my life? Am I a big complainer? Am I one who's always talking about what it hasn't been instead of thanking God for what he has done? And today, say, Lord, we said today it wasn't about just information. We want transformation. Say, Lord, I want to change that today. God, give me a heart of gratitude. Give me an attitude of gratitude. Work in me. It's him who works in you the will and the ability to carry out his good pleasure. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes this morning? As we close, I just want to talk to two groups of people. First, for the one this morning who's here who recognizes, listen, Pastor Wayne, I see that I'm helpless. And the only way for me to enter into the presence of God is through a relationship with him, and I want to give my life to him today. I recognize that I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I do wrong, and I fall short of God's glory. And I want him to forgive me of that, and I want to be made right with him. If that's your desire, you want to be made right with God so that you one day will live eternally in his presence and glory. If you want that for your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, nobody, listen, this is between you and God. If you want that for your life, you say, God, I want to be made right with you. I want you to forgive me of my sins and make me who you want me to be. If you want that for your life today, right where you are, could you raise your hand right where you are?
We can show you how you can have that relationship. I see that hand. Anyone else? No one looking around, just you and God. Anyone else say, yes, I want that for my life. Won't you raise your hand right where you are? Is there somebody else who says, listen, I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want to be made right with God today. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can put your hand down. Second is this. If you're here today and you say, yes, I'm a follower of Christ, but I admit, Pastor Dwayne, I can be ungrateful. Matter of fact, and instead of being like that one, I'm sometimes like the nine. God's blessed me and I done run off and forgot to give him thanks. God, help me to have an attitude of gratitude. If that's just simple, Lord, I want to have a thankful heart. Raise your hand if that's you. God, keep developing me an attitude of gratitude. If that's your prayer today, won't you raise your hand this morning? Amen. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Anyone else? Lord, develop in me an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else want the attitude of gratitude? I see those hands. You can place them. You can put them down. You can put them down. Someone else said, listen, Pastor Dwayne, I just got some things going on in my life. I just need some prayer. If you are just in need of prayer, we don't have to know what it is. I got some decisions I need to make. I see that hand. Some things going on in my life. I just want someone to pray for me. That's you. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you just raise your hand for either of those things, if you want prayer, if you want God to help develop an attitude of gratitude, I'm going to ask Brother Dave, Sister Tanya to join me. And I'm going to ask, if you raised your hand, could you meet us here at the altar? We want to just pray with you and for you. Amen. If you raised your hand this morning, we just want to pray with you and for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on to the altar. It's open. Amen. 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 If you're in need of prayer, you can feel free to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thanks, Brother Aaron. Thank you. Feel free to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Some folks coming to pray with and for you this time. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, we can just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord.
Come on,
I just want to thank you, Lord.
Dear God, Heavenly Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And we thank you for these who've come. Thank you for the one who said they want to commit their life to you. God, we thank you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that today be the first day of the rest of their life, that they'd never be the same. I pray that nobody at this altar who came today will ever be the same again. We look for you doing supernatural things in their life, for them to have lives to bring honor to you. And as their lives bring honor to you, that people be drawn into your presence. We praise you now in advance. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we applaud our King this morning? Amen. 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 God is an awesome God. Amen. 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 If the Lord spoke to you, listen, I'm going to tell you, we're so thankful for those who came to the altar. But guess what? God can move right in your seat. You may not have come up front. Some people aren't up front people. That's okay. But if God spoke to you in any way, we want to know about it. If you could put that on our Connect card, and as the offering plate comes around, it's going to give you an opportunity to put the decision that you've made, the way God spoke to you today, on this Connect card, and so we can contact you and follow up with you today. And if you came up front and you made a decision, listen, we want you to put that on there too, because we want to be praying with you and for you, to be able to follow up with you and encourage you on any decision that you've had to make. So please fill out that card and put it into the offering plate this morning. Amen? We said a thankful heart is a giving heart. A grateful heart is a giving heart. How many thankful people in the building today? Amen. So y'all know where we're going with this. Amen. If we're grateful, then we ought to do what? Give. As God has prospered us and given to us today. So we want to give our honor to God with our resources, with our substance, and give back to him so that he can use it for what he's doing. We praise God. Listen, the operations of this facility and to be able to go out and do work for the kingdom, it all comes from the resources of the people of God. Amen. I'm thankful for what God is doing here. And how many of y'all have seen this work going on in the lobby, out front in the foyer, the work going on in the bathrooms? And when you come next Sunday, you might not even look the same. Amen. Something different going to be out there next week too. Amen. Amen. Because we want to be able to be a place where people come and feel welcome when they come so that they can experience the presence of God and come to know who he is. Amen. So we're going to ask that as we get prepared to give, I'm going to bless, pray over our giving, ask that you give as God has prospered you as he's laid on your heart to give. Dear God, Heavenly Father, everything we have is yours. And we just come to give back to you, God, not out of compulsion, not out of guilt, but Lord, you love a cheerful giver. So God, out of a thankful heart, we give back to you what is rightfully yours. Use it for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.